Oh, praise God. There is a great need in this world, and we know that the answer to all the needs is Jesus Christ. Praise God. Before we enter into the Word, I just wanted to share you a little anecdote. I'm sure some of you are wondering how long you're going to be here. So, some of us have come to expect so little out of church there has been a pastor not long ago. His name is Angel Fernando in California, Southern California, and he was asked by another minister, "Do your people come to church expecting something?" And he promptly replied, "Yes, yes, they do. They expect to be out by 12. I hope that that is not the mindset with which you have come here today. There's another anecdote I wanted to share with you just to make things a little light. Wally Burns, not our Wally here. Wally Burns was trying to find a church in an area where he had not been yet. And when he arrived there for the first time, he arrived there half an hour late. He asked, "Is the sermon over yet?" To the usher that was attending at the door. And the usher replied, "Yes, but the preacher doesn't know yet." There is much to be desired in the heart of some of us, but again, Jesus is the answer. And one time, there was a little story that I heard. It was about this certain Mary who died and went to heaven, and she was at the pearly gates. And she was asked right before she was able to enter, "Can you tell us God's first name?" And she paused for a moment and considered, and then she smiled and she goes, "Andy." And and the story goes, St. Peter goes, "What do you mean? How did you get Andy?" And Mary replies, "Well, we sang in church all the time. Andy walks with me, Andy talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own." So I pray that today this is not one of those days, and it might not ever be one of those days ever from henceforth. How do you like my English mastering? Henceforth, I said. Anyway, greetings from the true island in the sun, is Sicily. Right smack in the middle of the Mediterranean. You receive many greetings from over there. They are praying for us, while in the meantime they covet our prayers. When you turn to your Bible today, I would like you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And we'll read it in just a few moments. When you turn your Bible to Corinthians, your mind immediately, I'm sure, goes to the author of that book. That is Paul. Paul began as a skeptic of Jesus Christ, as a non-believer, who, after persecuting and being instrumental to have some Christians killed, he actually became a believer himself. Paul's ministry can be outlined by four journeys. The first three journeys, he founded and visited churches and synagogues and just preaching the gospel there. And as he founded churches, he was instrumental to establish in a very quick way the kingdom of God on earth through the church. On the fourth journey, Paul took what would be his last journey, which brought him to Italy. I wonder how that happened, huh? Italy. That reminds me that I'm right when I say nobody on earth should live without going to Italy at least once. I guess Paul proves it over here. I hope nobody dies there, but when you go to the Bible, you'll find that Paul, in his missionary journeys, will write several letters. And they make up about over a third of the New Testament. But it was during his third journey that Paul wrote the epistles to the Corinthians and Romans. In 1 Corinthians, Paul mainly deals with questions from the church. But in 2 Corinthians, Paul actually writes in great personal details and emotional insights. He gives about his life. He gives details about what is going on. And there are sudden outbursts of thanksgiving and praise in this letter. And when he is being doubted by some, he reminds them that the characteristics by which his ministry was outlined was the same marks as any of the other apostles. That was by signs, wonders, and the miracles. Now, paramount to anything that the church does, to any message, any strategy, programs, advertising campaigns, and outreaches to the world, just as the one that we did last night. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 that it is you who are an instrument of God on this earth, but it is you who has been entrusted with spreading the gospel. He also tells us that the Holy Spirit is the spiritual instrument, the divine agent on this earth through you that touches the lives of people and applies and makes real in your life and their life the power of God. Having the gospel of Jesus Christ and the power of God in your life imparts to you, Paul wants us to know, imparts to us a special fragrance of Christ. Let's turn our Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and we'll read verses 14 through 16. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one, we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other, the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? In verse 17, it concludes there, for we are not as many peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ. The fragrance of Christ. The fragrance of Christ, what is it? The fragrance of Christ is the triumph, the victory that Christ has achieved over his enemies and your very own enemies, namely death and sin. Christ is the one special ingredient. I love to cook. I love to bake. My wife loves to cook more than I do. And she's a great one. We understand about ingredients. But I'll tell you what. The one special ingredient that God has provided so that you and I could experience the free gift of grace is Jesus Christ. If you want to be saved from sin and accept a new life in Jesus Christ, then you must accept this free gift of grace. Free indeed. Yesterday was the anniversary also, not only of what is the world knows as Halloween, but also as, say, the beginning of the Reformation. In 1510, though, 7 years earlier, Martin Luther found himself being summoned to Rome because he wanted so much to visit the city where the seat of the church is of the time. Now, When he went there, he climbed on his knees a staircase with well over 100 steps and a full staircase all made out of stone, called hard stone, called the Santa Scala, the Holy Ladder. And as he's doing this, and he's contrite, and he's praying to God, he's asking God, God, please accept the sacrifice to you. He realized something clicked. Wait a second. This is not what happens when I read in Romans, in chapter 1, verse 17, where it says, the just shall live by faith. Meaning his soul can receive salvation. His soul can be redeemed by grace, not by works. And so Luther realized that Jesus is the one who washes his sins. And that it is through Jesus that the repentant sinner can have his sins washed away and begin new life. The being reborn. Hallelujah. It is Jesus who clothes the repentant sinner with his righteousness so that the repentant sinner can stand before God and say, Lord, I am yours by your Son, praise God. It is by Christ clothing you that you receive the fragrance of Christ, the fragrance that smells good to God. Luther suffered for months being imprisoned afterwards, after having declared his newly found faith in Christ. And as after he suffered months of imprisonment, he fought so that you and I today, 500 years later, could have our very own Bible in the language that we can read and understand. He fought for the right of others to be able to have the fragrance of Christ. Praise the Lord. In verse 14, Paul gives thanks to God. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. This giving thanks, which by the way, we find ourselves at the threshold of thanksgiving. The giving thanks is an expression of joy. I hope that we all can be able to express our joy in now giving thanks this year. If you study the word giving thanks, you actually find that in the etymology of the word that giving thanks, thanksgiving, and the word grace and the word charity, all are three sisters. All three of them get the root word from the Greek charis, charity, grace, where grace would be the very first of these words. Giving thanks in the Greek, Paul would have written eucharisteo, Eucharist. Giving thanks. But he writes to us, eucharisteo, giving thanks, as being this expression of joy. Which, by the way, joy, if you turn to Galatians, don't turn now, but do that at home. Galatians 5:22 gives us a list of what? Fruits of the Spirit. And what is among those? Joy. Praise God. So giving thanks and joy are supposed to be, you know, this united action. Paul gave thanks, even though he had known many obstacles and adversities. But now, in AD 57, just some 27 years or 24 years after Christ has left earth, Paul decides to keep his eyes up to God and to keep his trust on him. Praise the Lord. And he does that joyfully. Glory to God. The picture that Paul paints to us here is a picture of a Roman triumph. So he's giving thanks, but he's also imagining here a beautiful event. An event in which, in a Roman parade, there will be all sorts of grandeur. a victory parade for a conquering war hero and his army. On his return to Rome, this general, this consul, this victorious person, he will take a specific route to the Capitoline Hill in Rome, which is the hill of the emperors. With his fellow warriors, he will go to it. And there will be a long processional. He will be ahead on a golden chariot. And following him, there will be some of his generals that helped him. And following along the line, there will be some of the spoils. And lastly, there will be the conquered, the captives. Doubtless, Paul was thinking of one of the occasions in which some of these events would happen. Take just a few years earlier, Emperor Claudius, who defeated the Britons, he had his Roman triumph right into the city of Rome. And behind him, in the procession, would be the king of the Britons, King Caractacus, who was conquered. He had lost a kingdom. He had lost everything. And he was being led into such a procession, right into Rome, to his shame. All along the parade, there will be priests who will be burning incense and other sorts of herbs and spices. The aroma will fill the air. And Paul is thinking of this aroma, this fragrance that is just filling the air, marking this day especially. Let's fast forward 1,500 years forward. Another reformer besides Luther, there will be Calvin, John Calvin. I don't agree with everything he thought, but there are a few things with which I agree with him wholly. One of the things he did was he turned to Isaiah 33:22. And in there, while he was supreme governor of the city of Geneva. Anybody ever heard of Geneva? In Switzerland, that's right. Somebody just said Switzerland. In that city, he was the governor. And imagine that, a Christian governor. Oh, my. 33:22, he took in Isaiah, and he read there, "For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king. He will save us." And what did he do? He took a city that was then filled with corruption and crime and turned it into a model city, just modeled right after this scripture. By using the scripture, he set up, he developed the government of the city, and the city was turned around. You have right there the branches of the government. I don't know if you realize there. Maybe the founders of this country, they had some ideas they took out of the Bible. I don't know. Some people say no, but you be the judge. How do you get the fragrance of Christ, I ask? In verse 14, we read that verse again. "Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place." By letting Christ be your conqueror, you can get the fragrance that smells good to God. The Roman general, in order to be awarded the Roman triumph, which, by the way, had to be voted by the Senate, this general had to bring death to the enemies. He had to conquer new lands and increase the territory of the Roman Empire. The Roman law was that he would have to have at least 5,000 enemies being killed, at least 5,000 people dead, in order to be conquered. Let me show you here now that Christ is better than this type of conquerors. Christ is the one that has the answer and the better fragrance. Because Christ had not to bring death, he chose death for himself. Unlike Satan, Christ brings life. Instead of killing, he gave life to more than just, say, on the day of Pentecost, more than 3,000 people on one day received new life. Just a few days later, You read in the book of Acts continuing, 2,000 more people received new life. The resurrected Christ claimed the spoils of war. The war against sin, the war against death, and the spoils is none other than lost souls. In Luke chapter 20, chapter 11, verses 21, it says that when a strong man fully armed guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoils. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. I pray today that you and I belong to the army of God. I pray today that you and I will be the ones who are conquered by Christ and henceforth be with him, conquering and not scattering. Praise the Lord. The Bible says that therefore, because Christ ascended on high, he led what? Captivity captive and gave gifts to men. God has much for you. First, we're giving us freedom, and second, we're giving us gifts. Gifts of life. Gifts that keep on giving, not just for ourselves, but for all those ones who are around us. Praise the Lord. The Father in heaven approved Jesus' victory and gave him this triumph. Praise the Lord. Let Jesus Christ be your commander-in-chief today and have total victory over sin and the world. Please, I ask you, give to Christ every area of your mind and your heart, and you will find how much more God has to give you. Praise God. Did you know that along with the general, because it didn't end there, did you know that along with the general that triumphed, he could also take his children on parade? He could take his very own kin. And aren't we told in Scripture that when you accept Jesus Christ, you are grafted into the very family of God? So what are you waiting from going into this parade, into this triumph of Christ? Praise the Lord. Paul knew this, and that's why when he wrote to Romans, in Romans 8:37, he says to them, "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." Praise the Lord. Christ does not want you to go to hell. Christ does not want anyone there to go to hell outside of this world. But Christ loves us. Are you wearing the fragrance of Christ? The verses following in our text, "For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing." Praise the Lord. Are you wearing the fragrance of Christ? We just talked about what is the fragrance of Christ and how do you get it. So let me ask you, are you wearing this perfume of Christ, this fragrance, this aroma? Using the image of incense, which, by the way, I don't know if you like the smell. I really don't care for. But the idea here is that using this image of this incense, the smell is just filling the air. Paul ties it into our daily life, into every aspect. The very air we breathe is the fragrance of Christ infused in the very air we breathe. If you are not a follower of Jesus Christ today, today is the day for you to take this. Today is the day if you were following Jesus before and you haven't been. Maybe as a child you were taught about Jesus Christ. But today is the day for you to become faithful to him and to be altered in the way of being reborn, praise God. Today is the day. The odor that during the parade it just affected everybody, everything, conquerors and conquered. Everybody, even the bystanders, they were affected by the spell. That what's going on. Somebody might have been inside the house, and all of a sudden, I don't know if, you know, today we live in houses where our windows, they're almost airtight. Almost airtight. If you grew up in a little house in which I grew up back in Italy, I mean, the wind, the draft is just come right through. There's a smell outside, you smell it right in. You smell it right in. I tell you, there was no area, no place where this aroma will not be felt, will not be smelled. This aroma was affecting everybody. Is the fragrance of Christ in you? Is it affecting those around you? To the returning soldier, the aroma, it was this elating sense of life. It meant life for him. It meant victory. It meant reward. It meant now I can rest. It was a sweet smell, like the sweet smell that, which is talked of in Leviticus. In Leviticus chapter 1, we read there in verse 9 of the burnt offering that will be brought to God. The burnt offering that God describes in his word as this offering that brought a sweet smell to him. I'm thinking of a steak, of the barbecue. It smells good. It smells good. It makes me salivate, I tell you. That is the type of aroma. That is the type of fragrance that God wants in your life. You desire that or not. Today is the day for you to take that. Praise God. The knowledge of Christ is a sweet savor. A flavor, a perfume that when it's put on for real, it diffuses everywhere. It makes no difference if someone is blind, if someone has some physical situation, if someone is not hungry, the smell just comes to you. Praise God. To the prisoner of war, the fragrance means something else. It is not sweet. It is not causing them to rejoice either. It actually giving them grief. It's causing them to have bitterness in their life. And is causing them to go through their mind and go, oh, what if? What if only? Oh, I wish the unreachable, the conquered, must feel that way. Also because he knows that at the end of the parade, he will be brought not in a house of slavery, but to the arena where he would have to fight once more to stay alive with wild beasts. But it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. Why? Because we plead with you today to wear the fragrance of Christ for your souls first and then for those who are around you, for this church. Do our co-workers know what we're wearing? Or is it a knockoff that we're wearing? May the name of Jesus Christ on our lips be a fragrance of life to those who are dying in the chains of sin. Do our friends know what we are wearing? Do they know? Or is it a knockoff? Allow the Holy Spirit of God to speak to you and give you the power to declare the truth in the life of many. Praise God. You read that right out of the book of Acts. We're doing our study in Sunday school. The children are doing the study with the ministry of Bible quiz. in the book of Acts, we read there that the disciples were given what? The power to declare truth and give the gift of life to other souls. Praise God. Does our family know what is that we are wearing? Or is it a knockoff? The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. And it convicts us in a way that it works not just to make us feel sad, but actually to make us feel accepted before God, because he allows us to understand that our peace comes from Jesus, that our freedom comes from Jesus, and he advocates for you and I. That's a word, another word for a lawyer, someone who stands between you and the court's judge, the advocate, the one who does his job. And believe me, if there is a defense advocate, if there is a defense lawyer in this place, besides Mark right now, there is Jesus Christ right here, right now, who wants to advocate for you, who wants to be the one who defends you for before the Father. But you have to take on his fragrance. Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit is at work. Are you wearing the fragrance of Christ? We are called to be his ambassadors. We are called to be bearers of his light. Our churches are our homes, lighthouses in this dark world. In the storms of life, are our homes and are our churches lighthouses. In Matthew chapter 5, it is an important verse that we should read. In verse 15, Christ says, "Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house." The light of God, if it's in you, must be shown. Shine it to everyone. Praise the Lord. I pray that our heart and our mind may be fully given to him. It may not be as in Romans chapter 1, where Paul writes, describing a fool. May our mind might not be as a fool, as a fool's mind. In chapter 1, verse 28, Paul writes, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting." May our mind be sane. May our mind be stayed. May our mind be focused on none other than Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. I pray, yes, that our mind and heart indeed may be God's throne on earth and the seat of God's kingdom right here. Allegiance to God, wrote Johann Albrecht Bengel, a Lutheran preacher from the 1700s. He influenced with his teaching John Wesley. John Wesley was affected by Johann Albrecht Bengel. And Johann Albrecht Bengel one day wrote, "We do not have God's permission to quit praying. We do not have God's permission to quit praying until he gives us an answer." Praise God. And I believe he is right. Are you praying for your loved ones who are not serving Christ? Do not stop. Are you praying for co-workers, friends, neighbors? Do not stop. Why? Because you do not have God's permission to stop praying until you get an answer. Are you praying for the persecuted church? I encourage you today to do so. And do not stop, even as after you leave, because God has not given you an answer yet. Believers like High and Tan, each 31 years old and 27, or the other lady from Burma, Inzali, her name. Burma is today called Myanmar, the country of Myanmar. You know, there was some unrest there not long ago. But Hai and Tien from North Vietnam and Inzali from Burma, they were raised worshiping various gods and some Buddhist religion also. But they learned of the fragrance of Christ and wanted it for their souls and for others. Today, they are risking everything that they have, even their lives, because they're wearing the fragrance of Christ. They have been beaten, kicked, punched, arrested, and they don't even have a church to go to or a car to drive. Inzali said, "I know the truth, and I must share it. If I do not share the gospel, my heart burns within me." Kio, another believer, he said, "Because I do many sacrifices," this is quoting him, "because I do many sacrifices to evil spirits, they were destroying us. If we believe and serve God instead and Jesus, we will have a strong help. I knew becoming a Christian would be difficult, and I would have persecution. But we know God's power, and exactly that he helped us." Pray for the people, he asked in his testimony. Pray for the people around me, because I want them to know God through my life. Friends, are we so deeply in love with the world, with the things of the world? I pray, do not go home today forgetting what is that we said. Do not go home today without allowing the Holy Spirit to personally lead you to the truth of Jesus Christ. And when you get to wear his fragrance, wait and see how other lives will be affected and changed. Hallelujah. It is true that there are many who may be selling half-truths and an easy gospel or their religion to others. They're selling a lot of garbage out there. There is many knockoffs. But we are not as many. And you are not to be as many. Do not let those who the Bible talks as the huckster deceive you. Do not let them. Do not let them deceive the ones you love. They are trying to sell something cheap. Knockoff brands, which will soon smell bad. Can I have the musicians come up front? And you can play something while we close. The message of the gospel is like the sweet fragrance of a flower. I remember the flower that my mother likes the most is the jasmine. I don't know if you ever smelled the jasmine flower. But the fragrance is so subtle and yet so beautiful, so sweet. There is no need for clever words. There is no need for formulas or repetition in order for Jesus Christ to enter into our life and to change us. There is none of that. Christ already has triumphed for you. Christ has already triumphed for me. And God knows the heart. If your heart is open today, as he stands and knocks, allow him in. Praise God. If we accept him, he comes in our heart because he loves us and he wants to live in us. And if he lives in us, his fragrance will get all over us. And guess what else happens? The church will know. The whole world will know that you are wearing Jesus Christ, praise the Lord. And your heart is full of a fragrance that brings life. And life more abundantly, not just to yourself, but to all those who have yet to receive, praise the Lord. Why don't you all stand up? Today, in this day of international prayer for the persecuted church, please, I ask you, are you wearing the fragrance of Christ?